From the headquarters of Swinnerton, this is the Modern Built Environment Podcast, featuring exclusive interviews with world-class thought leaders, executives, and civic leaders committed to a better and more beautiful built environment. Established in 1888 and built on a foundation of integrity, trust, and collaboration, our history has prepared us for this moment. Possibility is limited only by our imagination. We know what tomorrow can bring because we've seen thousands of tomorrows and are prepared to shape what comes next. Pride of ownership, peace of mind. Our podcast is hosted by Tom DiOro of The Modern Architect at KZSU at Stanford University. Go to swinnerton.com/podcast.
Thank you, Maggie. For our guest today, let's welcome Eric Foster. Eric is the Chief Executive Officer of the 132-year-old Swinnerton, a San Francisco-based construction company. As Chief Executive Officer, Eric is responsible for the overall strategic direction and executive management of the company. Eric aligns Swinnerton's strategic vision within a continually evolving industry to maintain the highest standards of quality, integrity, and innovation while providing exceptional value to clients and employee shareholders. For more information, feel free to visit swinnerton.com. Again, swinnerton.com. Hello, Eric. Terrific having you on the Swinnerton show today. Thank you very much. Always great to talk to you.
You too, Tom. Good to see you.
Thank you. Likewise. Eric, we like to start the show off with something that matters to you in a quote or a prayer or a mantra that you kind of carry with you on a day-to-day basis to deal with some of the challenges and joys and just the experience of being the CEO of Swinnerton. Would you be, I'd love to hear from you.
Sure, Tom. You know, when I was a fairly young man, I'd say fourth or fifth grade, my father bought me the book Endurance, which is the story of Ernest Shackleton's Antarctic trip. And I've always liked his Ernest Shackleton's quote, "Optimism is true moral courage." And I think that's just something that stuck with me ever since third or fourth grade. You have to be optimistic in this world, and attitude is everything.
Yeah, I like that attitude. That was fourth grade?
Yeah.
And it's still you still carry it with you.
Yeah, great story. You know, yeah. One of the greatest survival adventure stories of all time.
And on that mention of survival, if you go back again, we'll touch in your even in your childhood and relate it to what you're doing as the CEO of Swinnerton. How has that also helped you within, you know, the times that we're in now, which are unprecedented, in navigating through some of the challenges?
Well, I think it's a spot on quote, right? Optimism is true moral courage. When the COVID-19 pandemic hit, we started weekly communications with all our employees, webinars at noontime. And you have to be optimistic, and you have to go into this assuming we'll find a cure or herd immunity, we'll carry on, we'll figure out a way to be successful, and never let it get you down. Just stay positive, stay optimistic.
Yeah, stay optimistic. How is that even culturally for Swinnerton to have to adjust to it? I know, you know, we have, but just for a lot of the employees to go through with that adjustment, not just as professionals, but as people as well.
Well, you know, everyone's unique and everyone's an individual. I think a lot of people were frightened of the unknown. And so it's coaching, and it's a cultural issue within the organization that we all stay optimistic and positive. And I think we've done a pretty good job. I think the Swinnerton people really rallied. I'm real proud of all of them.
Yeah. You know what's amazing is we're 132 years old, and still at the forefront of technology, because I know you've got it's important to you to always stay up to date, if not even a little ahead in technology. Why is that so important to you?
Oh, you just have to change or die. You know, it's one of our mantras around
that's
here.
Right.
Change or die. Rather than change or die, let's say improve or die. You just have to constantly keep your eye on the horizon and think of ways to improve. We've got a guy named Eric Law runs our innovation center, and he's working on some really nice things. We've got a drywall robotic sander that we're working on. He's got some robotic lag screw fasteners in our Swinerton Mass Timber group, where we think we can, you know, outperform a carpenter manually putting in lag bolts in these massive wood structures. We're going to try to do it robotically, and onward with those things. So you just have to continually improve, or you'll get passed by. It's a competitive world we're in.
Yes, it is. Well, it's, again, touch back on that, 1888, I believe, when it began, but to have that legacy and to still be at the forefront in an industry that this changed, I was going to say in the last several years, but actually it's changed in the last several months now. How is that, are you always looking ahead at the same time still staying present and still true to the traditions and the values that are, you know, more part of the legacy?
Yeah, always looking ahead but always keeping history in mind. You know, this is my 39th year at Swinerton, and I was blessed as a young man to know Bill Swinerton and Dick Wahlberg and listen to their stories about how they powered through the Great Depression and what they did, and you know, how they pivoted and started building single family homes or whatever they needed to do. So I feel like I've received a blessing from them to get through this COVID-19 pandemic. You just learn from the past and you keep your eye on the ball and you keep moving forward. We're really optimistic about the future. In June of 21, we're going to launch our office in Manhattan, New York. So that's going to be super fun. And then after that, we've got our eye on Washington, D.C. So we're trying to build a national platform where we can service customers throughout the entire United States on our national accounts. We've got about 80 national accounts where we think we could serve them on a national basis. So really positive about the future. We'll get through this.
Just a matter, 80. Wow. What was, is it part of it clients' requests and then also part of just being able to serve, you know, as many great people as you can?
That's exactly right. We've had clients ask us to build for them in Manhattan in the last few years, and we've politely declined. And so we figured now is a good time to launch and service those existing clients and build new clients in Manhattan. I think the tenant improvement market in Manhattan is going to be robust. The interior renovation market in Manhattan, I think, will be robust. We'll get through this pandemic, and then the density of offices will change. People will want different configurations, and we hopefully will be there to serve that need.
Yeah. Touch back again on the culture. I know I've shared this with you off show, of course, that there's a high level of care that I've experienced with you, you know, over the last couple of years. Why does that level of care kind of matter to you? I mean, if it's too personal, don't tell me. But there's a strong sense of, you know, you really, really care about obviously your clients, obviously about your employees, and obviously about your industry. Where would you attribute that level of concern, care, and that it really matters to you?
You know, it goes back to our 100% employee ownership structure. When I started here in 1982. We were primarily owned by the Swinerton family and a couple other senior executives. And those gentlemen were so gracious and so forward-thinking. They started a employee stock ownership program, and they also started just a pure stock purchase program to transfer the company from the family to the employees. And now, you know, 37 years later, we're 100% employee with a wide distribution of shares. No employee can own more than 4% of the company by bylaw. We've got wide distribution. And so when you're an owner, and what we teach all of our young people, hey, you're an owner, act like an owner, think like an owner. This is your business. And it creates that culture of caring that you mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. And how about the accountability too? Because a shift in ownership versus a kind of just an employee only, that's got to be a major difference in just mindset.
Yeah, it is. You're all your fellow employees are your partners, and you're looking out for one another, and you're servicing the clients to the best of your ability because that's in the best interest of your partners in the business. So it's just how we roll, and we've been rolling that way for a long time now. And it's just, if it doesn't work for you, then this is not the place for you. we're not publicly traded. We're not gonna have an IPO. We're not gonna do anything like that. I tell the young employees, we're a long-term mutual fund. And that's our mindset. It's a slow growth, but if you enjoy construction and you spend your whole career here, you can accumulate enough wealth to retire well and provide for your family, and that's just how it works.
Outstanding. You're listening to the Modern Built Environment Podcast, brought to you by Swinerton. We're talking today with Eric Foster, CEO of Swinerton. For more information, feel free to visit swinerton.com. Again, swinerton.com. Eric, about innovation, can you share with your audience today why innovation obviously means a lot to Swinerton and how it actually helps, you know, benefit clients as well?
Yeah, I mean, innovation's key to survival. Right now, the innovation that I'm most excited about right now, there's a lot of them, but the one that really excites me is our Swinerton Mass Timber group. So I've never seen an architectural product type explode as fast as Mass Timber has. The architects love it. The user groups just love them. We're on the verge of opening up a Mass Timber fabrication facility in Portland, Oregon. We will design and manufacture a kit of parts for Mass Timber buildings and sell them agnostically to anyone who wants to purchase it. If you want to erect the building yourself with your own forces, fine with us. If you want us to do it, that's also great. And I'm really excited about that innovation in the industry. And I think that product is going to be popular for a long time in the future. It's very energy efficient. So it's a sustainable product, and it's just beautiful. Aesthetically, it's beautiful.
I think so, too. What was the inspiration for the Mass Timber? Was it something that was introduced to you? You sought out kind of a bit of both when you first discovered, hey, we're going to commit to this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we won a build-to-suit project in outside of Portland, Oregon for First Tech Credit Union. And the First Tech Credit Union and their architect were very interested in sustainability and building a world-class headquarter for their people. And so we started exploring Mass Timber as a team, architect, owner, contractor team. And the more we learned about it, the more we just fell in love with it. So that launched this initiative to get into the business, the Mass Timber business, in a big way. It's funny, Tom, because I've taken a number of clients to tour that facility after it was completed, and every client loves it, and every client wants to build one. It's like, I've never seen anything like it. You know, sometimes you go and you get a 60-70% success.
Yeah.
100%. They love the product. It's so warm, and there's a sense of calming and a sense of beauty, and to work inside one of these Mass Timber structures is just wonderful.
On that subject of beauty, obviously, as builders, there's still an element of that beauty, which is a very it's an emotional feel, but it seems to me the projects that I've seen, especially with Swinerton, and some of the audience might go, ah, you're all for it. But it's like, yeah, well, you know what? I'm in love with beauty in the built environment. That's why we have the show. Is how does every project have that for you, that there's a sense of beauty when there's a completion, even during the process? But a sense of beauty is not something that's always stated in the construction world. And how do you think and feel about it?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think every project has a sense of beauty. Some, you know, some more than others, obviously. The D. Young Museum in San Francisco and the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art are world-class examples of architecture. But every project has elements that are gorgeous and thoughtful and that take craftsmanship to produce. And so we've never done the same building twice, ever. And that's one of the reasons why it's so fun. That's why it's hard, but that's why it's fun.
Yeah, that's amazing. Never the same one. So there's always a challenge. Each project has its own unique challenge that you may not even imagine at the time of when you meet with everybody.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is there a formula that you go? I mean, maybe not let the whole secret out, but a formula that you go through, if not mentally, or a checklist to go, okay, here's how we're going to ascertain the what the challenges will be and how we're going to address it, and then get the expected, if not better, outcome.
Yeah, they're obviously, I'm a big checklist guy. I'm a big believer in checklists, so that's part of the formula. And then the other formula that we use is called a pre-mortem. You know, most people have heard of the term post-mortem, but we do on all of our major projects, we gather all of our senior executives and the project teams, and we sit down for a few hours and we just brainstorm on what could possibly go wrong. And then we write all these down, a brainstorming session, and then we start putting together scenarios to not have them go wrong. It's a wonderful process. I learned about it in a book called Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel, I think his name was Kamen. He's a Nobel Prize winning economist. It was in his book. It's a wonderful process, and it gets the team's wheels churning and gets you ahead of the game. What's interesting is we come back at the 1/3 point of the project and the 2/3 point of the projects, and every time we've come back and looked at what we brainstormed, that challenge was true. I mean, that challenge did occur, but the team was prepared to deal with it. It's amazing how good you can get in this process after a while of predicting the challenges.
On that thinking fast and slow, it's like holding, I can't remember who quoted this, but it's like holding two different opinions or thoughts in your mind. Is that common in your day-to-day operation where you have to think quickly, but there's kind of a sense of pause to come up with the most likely correct, if not exactly correct, answer?
Yeah, and that's why you need partners, Tom. It's a great observation. That's why we have an executive committee of 5 of our senior leaders. So instead of thinking fast and making a knee-jerk reaction, you gather your partners together and you say, let's talk about this and let's brainstorm this from different angles. And you can do that quickly. It doesn't have to be a slow process, but it's so helpful in not making mistakes. Really helpful.
Can you share with us one of the biggest challenges you can, the biggest or one of the biggest challenges that you can face, without naming names if you don't want to, where it looked almost daunting or fruitless, and yet it came out to be just magnificent?
Boy, off the cuff, that's a hard question.
Well, okay, I'll make it easier. How about recently?
You know, I think choosing market sectors is really challenging. We've had some wins and some losses. You know, healthcare has been a great win when you go all in healthcare. Aviation has been rewarding. But we went, a number of years ago, we went into federal contracting and didn't do well at all. And so those are tough decisions. You invest a lot of money and time into going into a federal government market, and then you've got to decide that it's not working for you and pull out, which is people's careers and livelihoods. So those are tough decisions, but that's where this committee, where you have an executive committee and you brainstorm and you whiteboard and you think it through and you make those hard calls. That's how we go about it.
Is there a process, you know, the interest of our show time, that you go through to determine, hey, you know what, I think this is not, we're not going to best serve this industry for whatever reason, or yes, we're going to be able to serve it? Is there either, again, mental or a checklist process?
Checklist process. I mean, you survey the anticipated revenue in that particular market. You talk to the clients. You get a feel for the competitors. You get a feel for the skill set of your people and the resumes that they have, and then you make a go, no-go launch decision. So it's a process, it's a checklist process, but they're still hard calls, they're still tough calls, because you gotta pay your dues, which is, you know, that's okay to pay your dues, but you gotta pay your dues before you learn and become expert at these market types.
You're listening to the Modern Built Environment Podcast, presented by Swinerton. Our public service announcement is for the ALS group. The ALS Association Golden West Chapter is dedicated to the fight against ALS in many ways, including funding global research efforts, supporting scientific and clinical collaboration, connecting people with ALS to clinical trials, partnering with multidisciplinary ALS clinics and centers, all while educating the public about ALS and providing professional care management services to families facing ALS, pursuing important public policy initiatives, and of course, bringing the ALS community together. We're talking today with Eric Foster, CEO of Swinerton. Eric, can you share with us your personal experience with the ALS in the Golden West chapter and why it means so much to you?
Yeah, Tom. You know, Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS, is just a horrific disease. I've known a number of professional colleagues who have been stricken with it. And I've got a very good college friend who is battling it as we speak. And there's no known cure, although breakthroughs, scientific and medical research has come a long way, and everyone is optimistic a cure will be found. It strikes for no apparent reason. You know, it's just a really tough disease. And so I like to work towards providing a cure, both through fundraising and bike rides and just talking about it like on this podcast, to let people know that progress is really being made and your donations are being put to good use.
Excellent. The quote you have, construction technology is a constant focus. Change and improve, disrupt yourself, or of course, cease. Can you kind of deep dive a little bit into that and how it relates to your almost everyday, at least professional existence?
Well, I think, yeah, it's a constant mantra to improve. You know, I think a lot of people get caught up on big game-changing innovation and things that are just once in a lifetime things. And so I would encourage everyone that innovation can be small steps, constant small steps of increasing productivity and finding better ways to do things. And I encourage all of our employees, the young ones kind of laugh at me when I tell them this stuff. I say, hey, turn your cell phone off. Turn it off. Don't put it on silent. Turn it off for 15 minutes a day, either in the morning or the evening, and just think for 15 minutes about how you can do something better, faster, smarter. And you won't always think of anything. Sometimes you'll go weeks or a month, but all of a sudden you'll think of something. And that's innovation in my world, constant progress in small steps. And every once in a while you'll hit a home run, but not very often. There's nothing wrong with singles and doubles all the time. Baseball analogy, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. On that, are there any other suggestions that you would or recommendations that you would encourage your listeners today choosing to become involved in the construction or the trades? If they're not sure what they're kind of doing, so say, you know, young folks that or even those looking for a transition, about what's the advantage for them and what's the benefit to people by being in the construction in the built environment?
You know, I've always found it a fascinating industry. And what I love about it is you get to work with every aspect of human beings in the world on a daily basis. So even as the CEO of the company, I talk to laborers and I talk to carpenters and I talk to structural engineers and I talk to architects and I talk to real estate developers and attorneys and accountants almost on a daily basis, which is really fascinating. You know, a lot of other professions, you're dealing with your peers and you don't get that interaction with the whole spectrum of human beings. And I love that. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about the construction industry. Building things is fun. You know, it's just the visual reward of building things is, it's not for everyone, but I just think it's a blast.
That's great. And along with that, how much fun you have with it, if you've ever quantified, even just mentally for the sake of the show, how much is actually relationships with people and then the actual nuts and bolts of the drafting, the designing, the construction of it? Have you ever, is it kind of 50-50?
No, I'd give it 80% relationships and 20%.
Really? 80%?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because we don't do, and the reason I say that is we don't do a lot of engineering and technical work. We're contractors. You have to have the technical skills of know how to assemble things, but 80% is relationships. What you do as a builder is you motivate large groups of people, both construction workers, architects, engineers, and owners. You motivate them to work together in an efficient and collaborative process. It's all about communication and relationships, which is another reason why it's really hard, but really rewarding when you get it right.
Excellent. Eric, what would you like to share on your show today that we may not have touched on that you'd love to talk about?
Well, I want to just reach out to the working parents, any working parents that are listening, that, you know, with the virtual back to school in most of our geographies, it's daunting to think about doing your job, helping your child, your student virtual learn. So you know, just hang in there. Our hearts and our minds are with you. Swinnerton's rolling out some programs that we hope will help our working parents. You'll get through it. This thing won't last forever. And hang in there. Take it a day at a time. And don't be afraid to ask for help. There's no sign of weakness in asking for help. It's a sign of strength to ask for help.
I agree. Eric, it's been always an honor talking with you, and terrific having you on the Modern Built Environment show with Eric Foster, CEO. Thank you so much, Eric.
Thanks, Tom. Have a great day.
You too. You've been listening to the Modern Built Environment podcast brought to you by Swinnerton. You can find us online at swinnerton.com/podcast. Again, swinnerton.com/podcast. Our guest today has been Eric Foster. Eric is the Chief Executive Officer of the 132-year-old Swinnerton, a San Francisco-based construction company. As Chief Executive Officer, Eric's responsible for the overall strategic direction and executive management of the company. He also aligns Swinnerton's strategic vision within a continually evolving industry to maintain the highest standards of quality, integrity, and innovation while providing exceptional value to clients and employee shareholders. For more information, feel free to visit swinnerton.com. Please join us again next time when we welcome another leading architect, engineer, builder, manufacturer, or civic leader committed to building a better and more beautiful built environment for healthier cities, communities, and lives. I'm Tom Dior.
The Modern Built Environment podcast is recorded at the Swinnerton headquarters and on location. The recording engineer is Stephen Blatton. The executive producer and host of the Modern Built Environment podcast is Tom Dioro. And we're all assisted by Mr. Eric Foster. This is the Modern Built Environment podcast by Swinnerton.